Is it your present understanding that by the reference here to Windows being the most popular client operating system by a wide margin, Mr. Newhold was referring to the market share enjoyed by Windows in about April 1995?
He may have been.
Isn't it a fact that your executives at Microsoft back in April of 1995 were concerned that Netscape's web browser posed a threat to Microsoft's Windows platform?
Well,
can you answer it yes or no, sir?
I don't know when people began to think of Netscape as a competitor to Windows. I don't think it was that early, but it might have been. I know that by late 95, when people thought about the various competitors to Windows, they did think of Netscape.
What's the earliest you could put on a concern expressed to you by Microsoft executives that Netscape posed the threat to the Windows platform?
I said that in late 95, I'm pretty sure people thought of them as a competitor. I couldn't name a date earlier than that. I know that online service people were thinking about Netscape and the Internet at earlier dates.
Let me ask you a few questions about page 898 of this document, several pages later on. I'll read you the portion of it that I want to ask you some questions about, so you have it in mind. The front end, which supports these services, is basically the union of the MSN front end with Blackbird and O'Hare. At some point, this is very smoothly integrated, but first, they are separate pieces of code stuck together at the end-user level. The front end should be given away as widely as possible, including put into Windows. I agree with Paul Moritz's comment that we should distribute the front end very broadly by having it Windows, at least at some point down the line, and distributed free on the Internet, distributed free with MSN. Recall any general discussion of this subject with Mr. Newhold or Mr. Moritz back in April of 95?
I know there was a plan to have Blackbird include all the HTML support, and so it would be a superset in that sense.
Is a reference to O'Hare a reference to Internet Explorer?
Probably.
Do you know a gentleman by the name of Ben Slipka?
Yes.
What were his responsibilities at Microsoft back in early 1995?
I'm not sure.
I'd like to mark as Government Exhibit 343. Series of emails, the first one being from Alex Saunders to various people at Microsoft, dated January 31, 1995, the subject being Frosting and O'Hare. Expedite your review of this document, Mr. Gates. I'll tell you in advance that my questions are going to be limited to the email on the last page of the document. Thank you. This is an email from Ben Slifka to Tim Harris and others at Microsoft, dated February 13, 1995, and does not show you as a recipient.
Which one?
The top one.
Mm-hmm.
The first sentence of the email from Mr. Slifka states, quote, O'Hare is the code name for our internet client, and we plan to ship it in the Win95 frosting package, which soon ships with Win95. You understand his reference here to O'Hare and the internet client to be a reference to what became known as Internet Explorer?
Well, I think Internet Explorer 1.0 that was in part of the Windows 95.
If you recall a plan back in early 1995 to ship a product known as Frosting?
I don't recall the plan. I know we worked on what we called Frosting.
What is your understanding of what Frosting was?
It became the Windows Plus pack. It didn't SimChip, I don't think.
Was your understanding that at some point in time it was Microsoft's intention to include Internet Explorer in the Frosting package as opposed to Windows 95?
Well, for the primary Windows 95 distribution channel, we included Internet Explorer 1.0 with Windows. So when you say Windows 95, it was part of Windows 95. Then there's the Windows 95 upgrade that was sold at retail, which that had a box labeled Windows 95 upgrade and a box labeled Windows 95 Plus Pack.
Recall that in about February 1995, it was Microsoft's intention to include Internet Explorer in the Frosting package and not in Windows 95?
No. I think you misunderstood what I said. Windows 95, the full product, included IE. Windows 95, the upgrade product, did not. But Windows 95, the full product, whether sold through the OEM or whatever, that included the capabilities. It was just the upgrade that did not.
I understood your answer. Let me ask the question again because I don't think I understood the question. The question was, is it your understanding that as of February 1995, it was not Microsoft's intention to include Internet Explorer in the full product known as Windows 95?
The product that didn't include Internet Explorer is called the Windows 95 upgrade. Windows 95, the full product, did include Internet Explorer.
I understand that when it was marketed, it included Internet Explorer. And the question is it your recollection that back in February of 1995, it was Microsoft's intention not to include Internet Explorer in Windows 95, but to market it instead as part of the package known as Frosting? Can you answer the question, sir?
I'm confused about what you're asking me because you have to differentiate the retail channel, which is the Windows 95 upgrade and the Plus Pack, from Windows 95, the whole product. Windows 95, the whole product, we wanted to include a lot of features. We don't know for sure which features are going to get done in time until really the product's done. So certainly our intention to do it and working hard on doing it, that plan had existed for a long time. We weren't certain for any feature on Windows 95 exactly what we would decide to get in or not get in. We did in fact get the Internet Explorer 1.0 into the Windows 95 full product.
Recall that in or about February 1995, it was Microsoft's intention to ship O'Hare as part of Boston.
The thing that was codenamed O'Hare ended up in the Windows 95 full product as its one place it came, and another place was in the Plus Pack.
Let me ask it one more time. But was it Microsoft's plan as of February 1995 to ship Internet Explorer solely in the Frosting package and not in the initial full Windows 1995 package that was to be marketed?
No, our plan was to get it into the Windows 95 full package if possible.
Recall that in or about February 1995, it was felt at Microsoft that it was not possible to include O'Hare in the Windows 95 package.
We had a plan to include it if at all possible. In the world of software development, there's always skeptics, so you can name any feature of Windows 95 and you can find somebody who would have been skeptical about whether it would get done or not in time for the shipment of the product. Certainly the people involved in doing the development were working hard, and in fact they succeeded in achieving our plan, which was as best we could to include it in the product, and we did.
Now, who was responsible back in 1995 for determining what went into Windows and what didn't?
That's a decision that I would have the final say on.
Who were your senior executives responsible for assisting in that decision?
Moritz.
I'd like to mark as a government exhibit 344, series of emails. First one being from Paul Moritz, dated April 12, 1995. The exhibit 344, Mr. Gates, is a series of emails, and my initial questions are going to be about the very last one, which is an email from you to Craig Mundy, dated April 10, 1995. What were Mr. Mundy's responsibilities back in April of 1995?
He was doing the broadband online service work, which was sometimes referred to as interactive TV.
In the first paragraph, you say, quote, given that we are looking at the Internet destroying our position as a setter of standards and APIs, you see things we should do to use ACT assets to avoid this. What was your reference to ACT assets?
ACT, ACT. That's Craig Mundy's group.
Your email goes on to state, quote, I admit I find it hard to focus lots of resources on trials and things when the Internet is taking away our power every day. Close quote. What sense did you mean the Internet was taking away Microsoft's power every day?
I meant that this is copied to people involved in the online service activity, Nathan, Rick, and Russ, and not to the Windows people at all. Looks like at 3 a.m. that morning, I was thinking about the fact that our ambitions for online service in the narrowband field, we needed to think if some of the broadband work that Craig was doing could come in and be helpful to that. particularly given that the internet was changing the framework.
What was Mr. Rick Rashid's position back at Microsoft in April of 95?
He had actually two jobs at the time. He was involved in research, but mostly he'd moved over to help out with the ACT work, which is the interactive TV activities.
I'd like to mark as Exhibit 345, remembering Mr. Jakes to his executive staff and director reports titled The Internet Tidal Wave. Do you recall offering this memorandum, Mr. Gates?
Yes.
To whom did you send it?
It appears it was sent to executive staff and direct reports.
What does executive staff refer to?
It's an electronic mail alias of a group of people.
Who did that constitute as of May of 1995?
I'm not sure, but it would have included most of the officers.
On the second page of the memorandum, in the second paragraph, you say, quote, most important is that the internet has bootstrapped itself as a place to publish content. It has enough users that it is benefiting from the positive feedback loop of the more users it gets, the more content it gets, and the more content it gets, the more users it gets. Can you explain what your reference was to a positive feedback loop?
It's explained right there. It says, the more users it gets, the more content it gets, the more content it gets, the more users it gets. I mean, I don't expect that people know what the term means, so I explain it right in that sentence.
Is a positive feedback loop something that, in your estimation, would result in ever-increasing popularity of the internet?
No.
Did you anticipate in May of 1995 that the internet would become increasingly popular?
That it become more popular, yes.
It was one of the reasons you thought it would be more popular was that more content would be written for the internet?
Created to internet standards, yes.
And was your understanding or expectation that the more content that was written, the more users there would be?
Yes.
On the fourth page of your memorandum, you state in the second paragraph above the heading Next Steps, quote, a new competitor born on the internet is Netscape. the browser is dominant with 70% usage share, allowing them to determine which network extensions will catch on. Recall how you determined that Netscape's usage share was 70% at this time. Is your reference to network extensions a reference to APIs?
No.
What's it a reference to?
To network extensions.
How do you define that?
Things that let you do richer things across the network.
Give some examples.
Advanced HTML, HTML tables, HTML style tags.
I'm going to take a reorganization of Microsoft back at this time in order to position the company to respond better to the internet.
Not at the time I wrote this memo.
Under the heading Next Steps, you say, quote, the challenge opportunity of the internet is a key reason behind the recent organization, close quote. What were you referring to?
I'm not sure.
What did you perceive the challenge slash opportunity of the internet to be at this point in time?
That users were interested in using the internet, and so we needed to make sure that our software was doing a good job of that, and that that was a challenge in the sense that other people could do it, and that was competition, and an opportunity in the sense that it would grow the importance of our strong software work.
On the next page, you talk about various critical steps. Were these steps to respond to the challenge slash opportunity of the internet you described in the earlier part of your memorandum?
I'm not sure what you mean by that.
You outlined several critical steps. Can you explain why you felt they were critical?
For all the reasons I cite in the entire memo, in the whole memo, there's part of the memo that precedes these steps. I could read the memo up to the point of the critical steps to you if you want.
What was your purpose in sending this memorandum to your key executives?
To talk about my view of the internet tidal wave.
Could you also outline your views as to what steps Microsoft needed to take to respond to the internet tidal wave?
There's a part of the memo that talks about steps.
In that part of the memorandum, are you outlining the steps that needed to be taken in your view to respond to the internet tidal wave?
I'm suggesting some steps I think we should take. I wouldn't say they're all related to one particular thing, but I make some recommendations here.
The second step here relates to something called a client. Is that a reference to Internet Explorer?
No.
What's it a reference to?
Client here means Windows.
First, we need to offer a decent client, parens, O'Hare, close parens, that exploits Windows 95 shortcuts. Is not O'Hare a reference to client here?
Client means client operating system.
Why did you put O'Hare in parentheses after the word client?
Probably because that's the part of Windows that exploits Windows 95 shortcuts.
What Windows 95 shortcuts did you have in mind?
Windows 95 shortcuts is a technical term, and the O'Hare part of Windows exploits this feature known as Windows shortcuts. It doesn't mean shortcut as in the common sense use of the term shortcut. It means the technical feature, Windows 95 shortcuts.
When you use the term O'Hare in emails that you write, what do you mean?
Well, this, in this case, I meant the group that was working on that part of Windows 95.
And what part of that?
The part that supported HTML.
Is that the part that became known as Internet Explorer?
Yeah, most of the work that in Internet Explorer came out of that group.
Further down in this paragraph, you refer to PlusPack. Is that, again, a reference to something also referred to at Microsoft as Frosting?
Yeah, Frosting was a name we used for what later became known as PlusPack.
Recall that it was in or about this time frame that Microsoft was doing everything it possibly could to include the O'Hare client in the Windows 95 package.
And by that, you mean the Windows 95 full product? Yes.
Yes. Who is responsible at Microsoft for accomplishing that?
I'm not sure you could point to one individual.
Was there one individual that had primary responsibility?
Brad Silverberg managed the group that was doing a lot of that work.
Did you periodically have something called Think Week?
Yes.
What is Think Week?
It's setting aside a week of time where I have no meetings or phone calls, and I get a chance to use products and learn about new research work that we're doing and other people are doing.
recall that one of the subjects you devoted time to in your 1995 think tank was the Internet?
I'm sure I did.
Recall receiving information from your subordinates in connection with the 1995 Think Week on the subject of the Internet?
Well, before I go up on Think Week, I get boxes of information, usually three cardboard boxes, and some of that I get a chance to look at and some of it I don't. I don't recall specifically what I was given for that Think Week.
How did the process work for giving you Think Week materials? Did your senior executives collect items that I thought might be of interest to you and send them to you for review?
Well, most of my Think Week time is focused on technology issues. And so there's a variety of people I solicit to provide input. It's not, many of them are not executives, but people who might have things that I'm interested in learning about.
Do you recall that Mr. Siegelman was one of the people whom you asked to collect materials for you for your 1995 Think Week?
I think probably I asked Brian Fleming to gather the material, and he would have gone out to the other people asking.
What position did Mr. Fleming have?
He had an assistant position working for me.
Was it your expectation that the inclusion of Internet Explorer with Windows would drive up Internet Explorer's market share?
Objection.
I'm not sure what you mean. We do know that when we included Internet Explorer and Windows, it gained basically no market share.
Okay, I'd like to mark as Exhibit 348 an email from Mr. Alchin to various people dated January 6, 1997. What do you understand the second email that contains Mr. Gates on Exhibit 348?
Looks like Ben Sliska's making some comments on something.
You understand that this email contains slides that were prepared for a presentation you made or were to make in or about January of 1997?
No, these are not slides that were prepared for me to give. I think these are, it may have been something that Ben Slifka was looking to do, and I'm not sure.
Subject of the second email from Mr. Slifka to Mr. Moritz is overview slides for Bill G / NC and the Java session with 14 pluses on Monday. You know what the reference is here to a session with 14 pluses?
Well, 14 probably refers to the fact that in our jobs in the technical group, there's level 14 is a fairly high level. And I know we had a meeting where we asked some of those high-level people to come and sit and talk about our strategy, and Kate, what they thought about the strategy.
Do you recall making a presentation yourself at that meeting?
I made a presentation, but not of these slides.
What was your the subject of your presentation?
I don't recall exactly, but it certainly wasn't these slides.
Do you recall a discussion at that session of the NC and Java Challenge?
No.
Do you have any understanding as to what's meant here by the NC and Java Challenge?
I'm sure NC stands for Network Computer, and the competition that came from that direction. And Java, I'm sure, refers to the competition coming from that direction.
Why would you consider Java to be a challenge at this point in time?
Well, the term Java is used in a lot of different ways. There's a part of it with respect to runtimes that was a direct competitor to Windows.
Under key platform challenge, the memo states, quote, possible emergence of a set of APIs and underlying system software that lead to lesser or no role for Windows. Recall any of the portion of the discussion on this subject at that meeting?
No.
The next sentence says, puts our other server and apps businesses at a disadvantage. To recall any of the portion of the discussion on this subject at this meeting?
No.
Under the heading response summary, various items appear. One is increase IE share followed by integrate with Windows. Do you recall any of the discussion this portion of the meeting?
Well, remember, we haven't established that these slides that were ever presented at any meeting. So, no, I don't recall that being discussed, but doing it in the context of the slides, you know, means nothing to me because I don't, certainly don't think I presented any slides like this.
Do you have any recollection of discussion at this meeting as to how to increase IE market share?
No.
Next page refers to another response, is differentiate through Windows integration. Do you recall any aspect of the discussion on this subject?
No.
Is it correct that the Netscape browser was one of the principal means through which the Java virtual machine was distributed?
I don't know what you mean, was distributed. Certainly the Java virtual machine has the ability to be distributed with any application over the internet. So, just like all software on the internet, distribution is wide open.
Did you form any judgment yourself as to whether the Netscape browser was the major distribution vehicle for the Java virtual machine?
Well, I don't know what you mean, the Java virtual machine. Understand that many different companies have Java virtual machines. Netscape had one that was different than the one that Sun had, which is different than ours, which is different than HP's, which was different than IBM's, which is different than Nobel's. So you'll have to be more specific. But in terms of distributing those things, they're out there on the internet, easy to get.
Hey, Mark, is Exhibit 349, an email from Paul Moritz to Mr. Gates and others, dated July 14, 1997.
Let's see.
To save time, I'll tell you, I'm going to ask you just, about the very first email here from Mr. Mitz to Mr. Dunney and yourself and others. In particular, where he says, quote, if we look further at Java/JFC being our major threat, then Netscape is the major distribution vehicle. You see that?
I see it.
What does the JFC refer to here now?
Well, as I said, it's all about runtime APIs, and JFC was the term for what Netscape was putting out as a set of runtime APIs, which was different than what Sun was putting out, but was their Netscape One.
Do you have any understanding as to what Mr. Moritz meant here when he referred to Netscape as the major distribution vehicle?
Well, Netscape had some unique APIs, and one of the ways they were distributing it was through their software products, including the browser.
Did you understand that in Mr. Moritz's view, Netscape was the principal means by which people were acquiring the Java virtual machine?
Well, you actually started these questions asking about Sun's virtual machine, and I explained to you that Netscape's is different. So I'm not sure what you're referring to now.
But Mr. Moritz said that Netscape is a major distribution vehicle. What did you understand him to be saying a vehicle for?
The Netscape runtime bits, not Sun's virtual machine. It says JFC there, so obviously it's not Sun.
Okay, I like to mark it as exhibit 340, 350. Email from Mr. Slivka to various people dated June 12, 1997. The second email on the first page here is from Chris Jones, and it says that here's a final copy of the memo we sent to Bill G for Think Week about what we should do to get 30% browser share. Recall reviewing the attachment as part of your 1995 Think Week?
I didn't review it.
No. What were Mr. Jones' responsibilities in 1995?
Good question.
Do you recall?
No. Might have worked for Moritz.
About June 1995, Mr. Gates, did you become involved in the planning for some meetings with Netscape?
No.
I'd like to mark as exhibit 351. These days I'll get it right. I'd like to mark as exhibit 351 an email chain appears to have been produced from Mr. Gates' file. Okay, the email I want to ask you about first, Mr. Gates, is dated June 1st, 1995, and the very top portion indicates that the bottom portion is being sent to you for your information by Paul Moritz, and the bottom portion is an email from Thomas Reardon, dated June 1st, 1995, on the subject of working with Netscape. Do you recall receiving this memorandum for email?
Email, no.
I apologize for use of my old-fashioned terminology. I don't know. Sorry, I never used email. You don't recall receiving this email?
No.
The email states that Dan and Barb and I met late yesterday to review our recent discussions with Netscape and form our next few action items. Dan is meeting with Jim Barksdale, their CEO, shortly. Do you understand the reference to Dan to be a reference to Dan Rosen?
Probably.
And is a reference to Barb a reference to Barbara Fox?
I mean, you could ask Thomas. Probably.
Do you have any understanding, sir?
Based on I've never spoken to Thomas about this. I don't remember seeing the email.
Do you recall speaking to anyone about the meeting referred to here between Dan Rosen and Jim Barksdale?
No.
The email goes on to list working goals. Which are one, launch STT, our electronic payment protocol. Get STT presence on the internet. Two, move Netscape out of the Win32 internet client area. Three, avoid cold or hot war with Netscape. Keep them from sabotaging our platform evolution. Do you understand the reference to Win32 internet client? Do we need it to be a reference to Windows 95?
No.
What do you understand to be a reference to?
Win32.
Can you describe what that is?
32-bit Windows.
Is Windows 95 a 32-bit Windows product?
It's one of them.
Were there any other 32-bit products in development in June 1995?
Certainly.
Which ones?
Windows NT.
Do you know whether Mr. Reardon was referring to Windows NT and Windows 30 and Windows 95 or one or the other?
Win32 is a term that refers to all the 32-bit platforms.
As I understand, a testimony that the 32-bit platforms under development in June of 1995 were Windows NT and Windows 95, is that correct?
And Windows NT was shipping, and there was a new version that was under development.
And Windows 95 was in development at this time?
Certainly.
In the portion of the email denominated number 2, which is move Netscape out of Win32/Win95, avoid battling them in the next year. There appears the following statement in the second paragraph, quote, they appear to be moving fast to establish themselves in the value-add app business by leveraging Netscape itself as a platform. Do you recall whether you agreed that that's what Netscape was doing back in June 95?
At this time, I had no sense of what Netscape was doing.
The next email I want to ask you about is on page 231 of the document. And it's an email from Paul Moritz to various people, including yourself, regarding the Netscape meeting in the state of June 5, 1995. Here, Mr. Moritz reports that he did not get the impression from the meeting he had that the Netscape was ready for a broad strategic relationship. You see that?
Do you think that refers to a meeting he had? I don't think so.
Let me refer you to page 596, page number 596.
Okay.
It's an email the same date, and it says, attached is my summary of the meeting that Nathan, Paul, and I had with Jim Barksdale of Netscape. Do you understand the reference to Paul to be a reference to Paul Moritz?
Or maybe he is talking about a meeting he had.
Do you have any recollection of discussing Mr. Moritz's impression of his meeting with Netscape?
I didn't think Paul had met with Netscape.
So you have no present recollection of discussing with Mr. Moritz his views based on a meeting he had with Mr. Barksdale in about the early part of June 1995?
No.
Let me refer you next to Bates number page 585. And this is an email to you and others from Dan Rosen regarding a Netscape meeting, and the date of the email is June 22, 1995. Page 585, base number. You got it?
Mm-hmm.
You recall getting this particular email.
No, I recall getting this email from Brad Silverberg on 584, but not this one from Dan.
You have no reason to believe you didn't get it, is that correct?
That's right. I'm so confused if it actually was enclosed in the other one or not. From the way it's printed out, it may have been. And I do, although my name is right, I don't remember getting that one. I do remember getting this one, which it may also be an enclosure to.
Right. Do you understand this to be Mr. Rosen's report on a meeting he had on June 21st, 1995 with Netscape executives?
It looks like it. The thing I recall is the Reardon,
right,
what he calls his perspective that Brad sent to me.
Right. Did you understand that Mr. Reardon had a somewhat different perspective on the meeting than Mr. Rosen had?
Yes.
Who was the senior Microsoft executive at the June 21st meeting?
There were no senior executives at that meeting.
Who was the most senior of the people there?
You'd have to tell me who was at the meeting. I have no idea who was at the meeting.
Do you understand that Dan Rosen was at the meeting?
Apparently from this email, yes.
Do you understand that, that Tom Reardon was at the meeting?
From his email, yes.
Did you understand that Jim Allard was at the meeting?
Jim who?
Allard.
Jay Allard?
Jay Allard, yeah.
I don't know.
How about Chris Jones?
I don't know. Does one of these list who was at the meeting?
Let me just ask you, do you have any recollection as you sit here as to who you were told attended the meeting on behalf of Microsoft? Other than Mr. Reardon?
I'm not sure what you mean, told.
Were you informed, Mr. Gates, who attended the meeting on behalf of Microsoft?
I don't think so.
Do you have any understanding as you sit here today who attended that meeting on behalf of Microsoft?
Well, the last page of the thing you gave me on 599 might relate to that, but I don't have any prior knowledge about it.
The email from Mr. Rosen on the first page says, quote, "Our goals going into the meeting were in priority order. One, establish Microsoft ownership of the internet client platform for Win95. Two, have Netscape add value to the NT server and back office platform above our stuff, making it the preferred internet solution. Three, have Netscape preferentially support Microsoft authoring tools / solutions and support our viewers. Four, send a message to the marketplace that Netscape and Microsoft were cooperating on internet issues." Recall discussing these goals with any of the Microsoft people who attended the meeting in advance of the meeting?
No.
Next page of the email says, Chris Jones summed up the purpose nicely. Quote, "We need to understand if you will adopt our platform and build on top of it, or if you are going to compete with us on the platform level," close quote. Did you understand that was a principal purpose of Microsoft in attending this meeting with Netscape?
No, it says in the Rosen memo, the purpose of the meeting was to scope out specific areas that a relationship between the two companies might take and to set in place a process to either conclude a strategic relationship or go our separate ways.
Do you have any present recollection as you sit here as to what the purpose of the Microsoft executives was in attending the meeting?
Well, there were no Microsoft executives in the meeting.
You don't consider Mr. Rosen a Microsoft executive?
No, inside Microsoft, I don't know about other companies, but the VPs are called executives, and the non-VPs are called non-executives, and there were no executives at that meeting.
Let me rephrase the question. Do you have any understanding as you sit here today as to what the purpose was of the Microsoft employees who attended the meeting with Netscape on June 21st, 1995?
I can read to you from the stuff you've given me here.
Just read. I'm asking for your present recollection if you have one, and I can read the document myself.
I don't know what you mean, my present recollection.
Do you have any, you sit here today, do you have any recollection as to what your understanding was back in June 1995 as to the principal purpose of the Microsoft employees in meeting with Netscape?
I wasn't involved in setting up the meeting, so I can see what Reardon said here.
Okay.
I can see what Rosen said here. You've read something that purports to be something that Jones said.
As we discussed before, did you understand that Mr. Reardon and Mr. Rosen had different perspectives on the meeting?
Well, I got some email from Brad Silverberg after the meeting that showed that Reardon seemed to have a more realistic view of what was going on.
Did you share his view?